You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I'm going to start the segment, but I'm going to like be looking to influence it as a producer more than somebody just poking.
Cool.
But I'll start us off.
Nice to see you, Dan.
Hello, David. And forgive my
sniffles.
I will not forgive it.
I have been sick for 2 months.
What's going on with that?
It's the Moss event after 3 years of pandemic and not being with people, then shaking every hand and smelling every breath. That was in a place that was brought from all over the country. Whatever's inside my system has been there for two months.
You're a lingering cough away from being Greg Cody.
But it's not. Yes, I'm headed there. So are you, by the way.
I know.
So are you in many of your quirks. Many of your quirks. But I want to get to David Sampson here in a second. You still haven't gotten your taste back, correct? Like that.
Oh, come on. You've had to get it back by now.
You're assuming that your taste is now gone for good. Yes.
In clothing. In food?
In food.
No, I have no taste. I shouldn't say none. There are occasional things that I taste now, but I don't like talking about it. I think we've talked about it too much, and there are studies being done. There are many people in my position, but there are many people in way worse positions from long-term COVID. I can still run. I have no issues. I'm not tired ever. I don't sleep. So the only thing is that I still can't tell the difference in my jelly beans.
What's the random taste? Not to, you know, dive into this, but like, what is the random taste that you're like, oh, wait, I just tasted something.
Hot, spicy. And I'm beginning, I was able to taste onions a couple weeks ago, and that made me happy.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, because I know you said you don't want to talk about it. And I'm assuming it's because with COVID, people have suffered, obviously, great tragedies. This is an inconvenience, but I think people are curious about the inconvenience. So you can finally taste onions. That must give you hope.
So no, I don't have hope because I still can't taste. I have one threshold and that's it. Can I differentiate my black jelly beans from my cinnamon jelly beans? That's all that matters.
Is it because you're a big jelly bean guy, or because that's sort of like the defining
test.
Line?
It's great such test. A good test. Great test. It's a spectrum test. The black jelly bean is awful.
I eat candy every day, and those jelly beans that I still eat every day, they taste exactly the same. And I can't tell you the pleasure I used to have in eating licorice jelly beans and then having the cinnamon jelly beans worked in, and I would mix them with cotton candy jelly beans. And what I would do is I would put them in a mix and in one bag, and then I'd eat them while I'm watching my movies every day. And now I put them in my mouth and they all taste like cardboard, but I still don't stop because I keep thinking the next bite, I'm going to taste it.
You deserve this for liking black jelly beans.
Don't say that. No one deserves
it. I'm just kidding.
Terrific.
All right, I'm kidding.
It really is horrific.
It must be horrific, but you don't want to talk about it because...
No,
because,
so stop.
All right.
I'm sorry for saying that. I was joking.
Listen, I don't want to overplay it, Howard. Because people have lost family members. People are unable to do the athletic things they used to be able to do because their lungs are compromised. I'm completely healthy. It was over 2 years ago that I had COVID. It was inauguration day is when I got it. And I lost taste and smell, and I thought that it would come back, and it just never did. And it's horrific. I used to love sushi and I would eat it all the time. Now I can't stand it. It doesn't sit well with me because I can't tell the difference in what I'm eating. I can't taste good food, but I still go to good restaurants because I'm an idiot. And I thought I'd be healthier and eat all kale and juices, but I still eat pizza and cookies because I like the texture of it. So A, I'm overweight. And I'm annoyed at the fact that I can't enjoy what I used to enjoy and that I won't adjust my behavior to reflect my new reality, which just makes me weak. So now can we stop talking about
that's
it?
That's ridiculous, though. You look at yourself and see overweight. And yes. I the reason I don't want to stop talking about it is because I wonder how many people think to themselves, which is worse, losing sense of smell or taste? Because we always talk about taste, but we have not asked you one question about smell.
My losing the sense of smell does not impact me at all. As a matter of fact, walking through New York City is a dream now. I don't smell urine. I don't smell all the weed. I don't smell anything. But let me tell you where it's a problem. In New York City, my doorman, and I'm sorry to look at me, Louie, that I have a doorman. My doorman is in my apartment. Don't play it. Don't play it. Damn it.
Yeah, got rules around here, dude.
Doorman.
He has to be in my apartment. Because I always think that I smell gas. And if there's a gas leak that I don't know about, I'm supposed to have installed a light. And I've not done it because I don't want to embrace the fact that I have no smell. I wouldn't be able to smell fire or gas. And so I'm always calling my doorman to come up and say, do you smell something bad here? Here's the other thing. No more milk. No more dairy. Because I can't smell whether it's spoiled.
David, so here's the thing. You said you walk through New York and it's a dream now because you don't smell any of the bad smells of New York City. But I submit to you that the bad smells of New York all have a temperature with them. They always smell hot. There's never a cold bad smell in New York. It's always, you feel...
You think you could feel the smell?
Absolutely. If I couldn't, if I lost my sense of smell, I would still know.
I think he's right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think he's absolutely right. A heat coming off the asphalt and the garbage, wow. And if you walk by it, it's a little warmer and more disgusting. I think you could feel that even if you couldn't smell it.
If you're talking about like walking over subway grates where you feel the hot breeze come over you, yeah, you do, but it doesn't smell like crap.
I love that smell, by the way.
I'm telling you that there are great advantages to no smell because I wasn't exactly I wanted to sound so smart just now. A botanist, right? I'm not a chef. There are chefs who have lost their taste and smell and have lost their ability to make a living. So just so we're clear that there are cases where it's very serious what I'm going through. In my case, it is not. I make a living with my mouth. If I lost my vocal cords with COVID, that would have been an issue, obviously. But not being able to smell roses, right? It doesn't matter. Oh, I don't have flowers.
Oh, but David, I think one of the things you're saying there that's fascinating is, and an unintended, I would have never guessed, that you live with a larger daily fear of something. And that doorman call must be like, not just annoying, a bit of a suffering, reminding you that your paranoia is always there. You always think there's a gas leak.
So I think that now you're getting a little deeper into my personality, where there's a level of anxiety that exists where I'm thinking about all possible things that could be going wrong at all times because the sky is most definitely falling. And it's not that I'm a pessimist. It's actually, I'm an optimist that I know the sky's falling so I can prepare for it. So I have a checklist of things that I go through. I'm the guy who checks every door, every window to make sure everything's locked. I really do have a plan before I go to bed every night or before I retire to my bedroom of different things that I have to make sure I see. And if I don't remember seeing them, I'll go back and do it again. And I'll do it in an order to make sure I don't miss. One of the things is to make sure everything in the kitchen is off, to make sure the burners are off, to make sure the refrigerator's closed, to make sure the dishwasher is done going through its cycle, that the laundry and washer and dryer are not on, because you don't want to go to bed with those things on. So I go through my checklist like a pilot flying a plane, but I recognize now that there's certain things that I could be wrong about. And so it requires me to double check and triple check, and then I start playing games with myself, and then I call my doorman.
All right,
it's not
Dave.
Great.
All right, David, you clearly did not want to do therapy for the last 8 minutes. Let's move on to things going on into the world of sports. I've really found funny, and Chris Cody pointed this out to me before we started recording, that the reaction to the Tom Brady retirement announcement has been hilarious because every chyron requires couching.
They're terrified.
It says, like, Tom Brady retires for now. Tom Brady
says he's retiring.
For good.
Everything needs a qualifier because nobody believes him.
We
don't believe that this is over.
I really thought, David, that Meadowlark Media distinguished itself yesterday with what I believe to be the worst real-time news reaction to a major story in the history of media, because he retires and the reaction of everyone in the room. I mean, this is a great, great player, important in sports, was don't believe him, liar, don't trust him. And it seems like we were out in front with that coverage because it seems like that's what everyone's reaction is.
Yeah, so it happened while I was live. So nothing personal is done live on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 a.m. On our YouTube channel. And it happened. Coco got in my ear, the producer, to say Tom Brady just retired. And he gave me the video, and we played the video of his Twitter right on the show. My first reaction is that he's so full of it, not that he's going to come back, but that he woke up, saw the sunrise and said, all right, I'm just going to do the video and I'm retiring now. And then he's trying to double down by saying, I called the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6 a.m. to tell them. What do they have? Their phones not on vibrate? He happened to reach people right at 6 a.m. There is no chance that happened, but I will say it is for good. He looked at his past season. He looked at his team. He realized that he just can't do it. And so good for him for starting his Fox deal. But don't give me the BS that he's doing to spend more time with his family. No retired player retires because they want to spend more time with their family.
But you can very easily make an argument that the struggles that he had last season were because he was playing on a bad team. That team was bad. If you actually isolate his individual performance, which some websites attempt to do, his individual performance wasn't terrible. And the thought was, well, he can go to San Francisco or he can go to this place or that place that could actually accentuate his skill set and he can maybe keep going. And I always thought that his thing was defying age and that he was going to keep going and going, and he still performed at a reasonably high level this year. And that's why I think nobody believes him, is because people think he's going to keep doing that.
I bet you right here now, and you can replay the tape at some point, Tom Brady will never wear a National Football League uniform again, ever. He is going to take his soft landing, his pillow job, his puffy job replacing Greg Olsen, and he is done, because he recognizes that the opportunity for him to keep winning, no matter what system he's in, has diminished to the point where the juice is not worth the squeeze. And the juice for him is only adding Super Bowls, and the squeeze is getting hit.
What was that sound?
Squeezing the juice.
He's right. I do love a good squeezing juice.
You're off mic longing for juice or squeeze juice?
He didn't even know that Witty's mic was on.
Soundproof glass, just longing for juice squeeze.
It's an overused expression.
Not enough.
It's not overused. I could say the view is worth the climb, but the reason I use juice squeeze in this case is because he spent his entire season trying not to get squozen. When you're analyzing his ability to do his job, if you're not willing to get hurt and you play not to get hurt, that's actually when it's the most dangerous.
Well, what are you doing there? Hold on a second. You're saying he's retiring because he doesn't want to be hit anymore?
I'm saying he's retiring because he doesn't want to be hit anymore and recognizes that when you're not willing to be hit, then you're not going to be effective, and your ability to win a Super Bowl goes to zero, and there's no other reason to play when you've got a $37 million a year job waiting for
you. Okay, but let's not be cynical for a moment, because I really did think the coverage, ours chief among them, really bad yesterday.
What?
Of a pretty seminal thing, if it is indeed so, that the athlete of our times, the Michael Jordan, the new Michael Jordan for this era, the only guy you'd put above LeBron and Serena for what this generation has seen, he retires, and it couldn't be a celebration because we already did that last year, when he didn't mean to retire. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was botched. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins end up not getting him, And boy, he would have looked good with Tyreek Hill.
Only because of the Flores lawsuit, by the way.
I want you to imagine him in that offense this year, because this is the move he was trying to make a year ago, and it cost him his marriage. But, David, you can't say individual measurements in that sport. You cannot say he was bad last year. He could still play the position, clearly and obviously. And if I give him all the 49ers weapons, I bet you he looks good. I do not believe that it's because he thinks he can't play or doesn't want to be hit anymore. I believe it's because the last year was really hard, and at the end of it, he's really drained. And if you ask people right now when they're hurting at the end of a season, Aaron Rodgers sounded broken when his season was done. This guy has only won his entire career. I think he's totally, totally done, and I don't think he'll be back.
But also, he'll be 46 next year.
Are you saying that he's coming back or he's not coming back?
I don't believe that he is coming back. I don't believe we will ever see him play again.
All I said.
I know you said that, but
you're saying that for different reasons, though. Like, Dan, you're saying because last year was hard, like in every respect, not just in the football respect. Whereas I think David is saying it's because of the hits he's going to incur. And by the way, I agree with a portion of that, David, because you did see him escape at every possible opportunity from getting hit and not stand in there and take the punishment. His sack total was fairly low this year, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that he did not want to get hit. And
they changed the rules to make it so even touching him would be a penalty, by the way. But can we go back to the family thing, Chris? Are we suggesting in any way that he got divorced because he played an extra year with Tampa?
I think a lot of people have made that leap. A lot of people have said he was sort of, he was married to the job. He wouldn't give it up when Giselle wanted him to give it up 4 years ago. And this has been a long tension in their marriage. And finally, it led
to the end of it. What are you laughing at, David?
I'm laughing. It's so ridiculous. She didn't want him to give it up. Be home, Tom. Drive our kids to school. Be the present father that you always dreamt you'd be. What she was really saying is, I don't want you anywhere near me. Their marriage had nothing to do with him playing an extra year. Marriages don't break up because someone stays at a job for one extra year. Their marriage breaks up like other marriages break up because they can't stand each other anymore. That's it. And they're better off and they're happier with somebody else or with nobody else, but just not the person they're married to. It has nothing to do with the fact that anything happened with Tampa or New England, or was he going to be back? Was he not going to be back? Giselle angry, so she leaves him for her yoga instructor because he's playing another year. Give me
reportedly,
a break.
Allegedly, rumored by the internet. We don't know that's true.
We're all speculating, though, David. You're acting like you know that that's true. I mean,
I know why people get divorced.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. It had to be something bigger than just football, but football could have been a factor.
Everything's a factor when you can't stand the person you're married to. You don't like the way they brush their teeth anymore.
Giselle got into his Instagram comments and just said, wishing you only wonderful things in this new chapter in your life. And a whole lot of people saw that "your" as a wet fish in his face. Like that was... And I just read it as like, well, that's nice. She's sending a lovely comment
but
to
it's
her
also
ex-husband.
Like, don't think you're coming back because you did this finally after all of our conversations about it. Your distance.
I think it's because they will forever be bonded because they have children. He still has to hang out and talk to Bridget Moynihan. It's what you do when you get divorced and have children. No matter what, you are inextricably aligned with the mother of your child or the father of your child or children when there is a divorce, no matter what, unless you're a piece of shit and you just abandon your family altogether.
David, I got a question for you because, you know, Tom Brady, you know, if we're to assume that he's leaving because just the stress of doing this is just, even though he's still good at it, it's just too much work to be able to do it. If Jeffrey Loria had never sold the Marlins, how long do you think you would have been working? Would you still be working right now? Or would you have burnt out and said, enough of this, I don't want to do this anymore?
No, I probably would still, unless he had fired me, I would still be working there. I believe that I did enough for him year in and year out to take care of his money and his business that he would not have fired me. But I think I still would have been there. I only knew that I didn't want to go back once I was gone. But what I didn't tell you about is the year or two after I got left baseball, how much I missed it, how much I had to redefine myself because I was so defined by being the president of a Major League Baseball team. it overtook my life. It was who I was. I was able to do anything whenever I wanted, however I wanted to do it. It's an unbelievable thing that feeds an ego to have that position. And I never really thought about it until it was gone. I just assumed that this is how people would treat me. And I assumed that the people around me were around me because they liked me and wanted to be around me. And then when you're out of the limelight and you're out of that job and everyone disappears and your Rolodex gets, God, that's an old reference. When your phone contact list becomes full of names of people you used to be able to reach and now don't return your calls or texts or reach out to you on your birthday, that's a very tough adjustment. And so what I did is I said, I don't want my ego to go to zero. So is there any way I can get paid to do something with cameras and red lights and microphones?
That's not the real reason. Come on. That's not the real reason.
No, that is.
Really?
Well, I would also say that you have a bit of a performer in you, whether it was as baseball president who got everything in that stadium built or, you know, person who's dancing on stage doing what it is that we do. Like you, that's how that happened. You realized that your friends weren't your friends and that baseball was who you were. And as soon as you left baseball, you were worthless, correct?
That's exact. That you're just restating what I said. I guess I wasn't clear enough. That's exactly what happened. So I wanted to get my self-worth back and I couldn't find a way to do it amongst a crumbling marriage and a complete craziness going on with family, sickness, et cetera, et cetera. I had to find a way to feed or to try to hang on to what I thought would define me. And that's how I got onto the media side on more of a full-time basis. But I didn't start nothing personal until over a year later in October of 19. And that's when I really started feeding the ego beast.
So David, I know you've talked about in the past several times where Jeffrey was either about to fire you or did fire you and then change his mind. In any of those moments, did you ever think to yourself, well, gonna need a new job?
It's funny you say that. When I give speeches to kids or to students, I tell them this: if you're worrying about your next job while you're in your current job, you're going to need your next job sooner than you think. And so I did a lot of different things before baseball, from business to Wall Street to various things. And I never worried about what was next because I didn't want to lose focus on what I was doing now. And I always loved what I was doing now. I was always proud of what I was doing now, but I still had the same anxiety. My life used to be defined by wearing Morgan Stanley shirts. I would wear in the late 90s, I worked at Morgan Stanley and I carried the Morgan Stanley bag. I wore the Morgan Stanley shirts. I hated people from Goldman Sachs. And when I left Morgan Stanley, I thought, how am I now going to be, what's my self-worth? How do I define it? And then I got to the next thing. So I always love what I'm doing, but the anxiety of change.
What is Amin laughing about? Is Amin is laughing because he's, put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Are you terribly sad for the man whose life is defined by Morgan Stanley shirts? That's what you were laughing
pretty
at.
Pretty much, man. That's what
you were But why does that make you laugh? If I'm proud of what I'm doing, whatever I'm doing currently makes me proud. I think that's what I want people to feel.
Yeah, it's working for a big financial firm in New York, and you've joined that team, and you hate all the other teams in New York, right?
Did you cheer when Lehman Brothers went down? They're like, yeah, that's right. You go
down. I had a lot of good friends at Lehman Brothers, and say what you want about that situation. When you walk in to work one day, and let me just tell you what it would be like. If you walking in to Metalark one day, and the cameras are off, and the microphones don't work, and it's not that there's people there to say goodbye, we love you. There is nobody there to say anything except there's security telling you to leave your ID and walk out. You don't get your computer, you don't get any of your notes, you don't get anything. And you're worried that all of the money you have in stock options that you had saved up could just be gone. So I would not make fun of anything that happened when a company goes bankrupt.
But you just said you hated Goldman Sachs.
I hated them.
I feel like Frankie would let me get my stuff.
He would not. I would. I mean, I'm assuming that
there would no chance.
I have either gone bankrupt or Stugatz has been, you know, raided by the FBI in some sort of felony.
I feel like Frankie, just let me get my backpack, please.
I know we don't have much security here, but I think if the scenario that he's describing, where Stugatz has run off with all of our money, and we come in here, that could happen to me. I could come in here, and Frankie wouldn't let me in here.
Let me just.
You
get
have
in
no idea. You'd be done. That'd be it.
Let me just get in the J drive and get that one naked Chris segment.
Look, it's my name on the wall. It's my picture. And they would say, I don't care. Turn around. You're done here.
Let's go ahead and do this real quick. What is the one thing you'd come back for? Because Chris Whittingham just said that it would be a naked Chris segment. just let me go back in and get a single thing.
I need to get that for my reel.
Roy, you have the best database we've got around here in your head. What one thing would you come back in here?
One last top 10. I got to do it.
Oh, you'd come in and do something. You'd come in and
do something. No, you can't do anything.
You're getting one keepsake, one audio file.
No, Roy is coming in here and performing for nobody. A top 10 in an empty room as Bob the Engineer shuffles by and grabs his last duffel bag.
Oh, one of the fake songs. One of the fake songs. I think the one with Kenny Loggins from Top Gun. That one.
I need Stu Gatz's.
Where are you getting it from, Roy?
I'm getting it from our database. I'm grabbing that file.
No,
I'm
access.
Emailing to myself. No access.
Nope. I'm with Lewis on this.
That's right. Email shut off.
Come on.
Can you guys
get
me that Kenny Loggins song?
You got to take a physical thing from the studio.
Hardline to the end zone.
All right. Get me the song. I didn't want a reenactment from you.
That's the name of the song. Go find it.
No, what do you mean go find it? You go find it.
Oh, okay, fine.
You got to get a physically.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln, or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some, but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Go find it.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Kiss me where you bruise me. Taste me on that fleshy part.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Taste me on that fleshy part.
Taste me, not touch me.
Taste me on that fleshy part.
Wow.
Wow, Bruce. That
Stugatz.
I'm talking about the clitoris. I'm talking about the clitoris. Yes, I am. Now we're out here riffing. And I'm going to try to find it if I can.
Okay. Well, wonderful rendition.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Time now for Amin's top five smells he would miss.
Are we ready with fanfare or are we searching for that song? I don't want to.
We'll do both.
Okay. All right. So OLI, popcorn at the movie theater.
Great
job. You walk in the movie theater.
That's OLI. That's a good list, man.
Number five, my own farts.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's my own farts, man.
No. Everyone likes their own brand.
You are too honest.
Even.
You are too honest, sir.
I'd miss it. Little Dutch oven action in the morning. Number four, an ocean breeze.
What do ocean breezes smell like?
I feel like, well, I don't know, David, I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like everyone here is probably like ruined and, you know, spoiled, but because I don't live near an ocean, every time I come here, I get that whiff of the ocean. It just makes me feel good. Like, oh yeah, everything is right in the
bit
world.
Bit of salt. pure air,
blue sky.
But David, are you so hardened by living by beaches that you don't understand what he's talking about? That if you live inland and you arrive at some place that's swampier, you can smell it?
I lived in Plantation. So I don't, I actually, if you asked me to choose a smell, like in a smell test, I would not be able to smell an ocean breeze.
Even before you're...
Correct.
Wow.
I can't picture it.
Put it
on
the pole,
Juju. I can picture your farts, but I can't picture an ocean breeze.
Put it on the pole, Juju, at Le Batard Show. Can you smell an ocean breeze? Number three.
Number three. Subway vent air.
No way. This is unbelievable.
So, okay, so
this is unbelievable.
So this is
New Yorkers have such Stockholm syndrome. It's crazy.
You don't deserve your smell.
Look, I'm gonna tell you right now. It reminds me of my childhood. Like it reminds me of being in New York as a kid and going to the playground and go play basketball. When you're walking on the way there, you get a whiff of that mechanical diesel fume. And I'm like, oh man, I don't even know. It's electric. There's no use any gas anyway. But I just love that smell. It takes me back to being like 12 years old.
Samson, you remember the smell he is talking about. You grew up in and around New York. It is not a pleasant smell. It's not even smell your own farts pleasant. It's an unpleasant smell he's talking about.
So let me tell you that how I grew up, I was not allowed to walk on subway grates because I was told by my mother that if you walk over a subway grate, it can fall through.
Yep.
So I've never to this day walk over a subway grate. So I know the smell of the subway from when I had smell, but it smells like terrible body odor and urine. It doesn't smell like diesel fuel. I never walked on a subway grate.
Yeah, not the smell of the subway of like all the people. I'm talking about the actual
train.
No, but
you think people will agree with you on this? You think you're talking about the smell that comes through the grid when the train comes through that is all the smells of the subway.
Or when you're waiting for the train and you're like, oh, where is this train? Then all of a sudden you get that... Like it hits you like, oh, there's air coming. What's happening? And then you see that light in the distance. This is back in the days before we had those fancy electronic boards that say, oh, the next train is an uptown train. It's coming in 2 minutes. Shut up. All these people.
Do you ignore the yellow line? I mean,
what's up?
Were you the guy who leaned over to look left for the two oncoming headlights?
Yes. I would love seeing it come up above the horizon of the tracks. You just see all of a sudden that glow.
How far do you lean over? What degree would your body be at to look?
I would say if zero is me standing straight up and down,
which it is,
I would say 30 degrees probably.
Oh, that's not a big lean.
Yeah.
At my size, the reason I didn't do it is I had to be close to 80 degrees in order to see. And to me, that was the juice not worth the squeeze.
Again, there we go. Go ahead, Roy. Roy, off mic. Look how happy he is. Number two.
Fresh pizza out of the oven of a pizzeria.
That's a good smell.
You're walking down the street and they just got a pie out that it's a mixture of the cheese, the sauce, but also fresh baked bread. I was going to go fresh baked goods in general.
Bakeries.
Wonderful. Fresh great baked smells.
Bread.
But pizza, that one's above all the others. And then number
this
one.
Is killing me.
When it's about to rain. Like, you don't see anything. It's not like it's dripping.
That's tremendous.
You smell, you're like, oh, I think it's going to rain today.
And you're right.
It cleans out your sinuses.
It's human instinct.
But that's
human
like
instinct
just,
working.
That's kind of just like a freshness. I almost feel like David might be able to still smell that because it's not actually smell. It's just kind of like a breeze.
It's a feel. It's a smell, Chris. I'll tell you why, man. Because again, when I smell it, it takes me back to my childhood. But it takes me back to my childhood in Sudan. It makes me think of Sudan when that smell hits because it's such an unmistakable odor. When people say that scents are the closest thing tied to memory, that's what I think of instantly.
Does rain smell the same in Sudan as it does in Miami?
No, it doesn't. But it's similar enough that's the kind of place where my mind
goes. I like what Whitty is saying there, though. What the you put it number one, the smell of your own instinct.
How about the wood smoke from a barbecue?
I like it, but then it confuses me sometimes because then I'm wondering, is there a fire? my senses are like, wait, is this a drill or is something happening here?
So Samson would be at that barbecue and not be able to smell either the barbecue or the flames that are engulfing his home.
It's happened. Now I can see smoke. I can see smoke.
You're laughing, Roy, at an inappropriate time because the man is sensitive about this. It's sensitive subject matter for him. And I
don't, still smiling, Roy.
I don't think I'm sorry.
I think that Roy is laughing at the thought of me not having the pleasure of these senses because it in some way makes up for, you know, all the
Roy, it's
privilege
weird.
And everything else.
Stop smiling for 30 seconds. Roy, you're so well trained really and not
strange.
Smiling.
Roy, it's really strange what is happening right now.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing
Roy,
at myself
so
now.
So nice to you and your family. Why are you so mean?
I'm sorry. I apologize. I owe you a drink. Hey,
just a stop smiling and it all stops,
I'm
Roy.
I'm trying to.
Roy.
You're so good at it.
Roy, what you have just
the first time.
Roy, what you have done to this man is offensive. Okay, I know I have instigated it, but he is sensitive about this and you are apologizing and you got a giant smile on your face about the man not being able to smell or taste anything for 2 years. Stop smiling.
Can we talk about Pamela Anderson soon?
No, I'm smiling
yeah,
again.
Yeah, David, what are you reviewing this week?
Thank you, Chris. There's a new documentary called Pamela, A True Love Story. It just dropped on Netflix. It's an hour and 50 minutes, and it's her and her two boys. Missing from the documentary is Tommy Lee Jones. And strike that.
I think it's just
Tommy Lee.
Just Tommy Lee.
Well, by the way, we're both missing from the Tommy Lee.
Totally
different movie.
Just to be clear.
That would be some relationship.
I don't care.
Hello, Pam. Both Tommy Lee and Tommy Lee Jones are not there.
It's a totally
However,
different movie, Tommy
she
Lee
is
Jones.
Naked the overwhelming majority of the documentary. And it was an ew factor because she is showing her sons all of these sex tapes and the Playboy shots, and it's all part of this documentary. And what we're meant to do is say, wow, what a horrible break it was with what happened when Seth Rogen stole the sex tape out of the vault.
Seth Rogen.
And so the documentary tries to paint her in a sympathetic picture, and it ends with her with a victory having been cast and performing in Chicago on Broadway. I found it to be incredibly compelling because it's not the Lily James, Sebastian Stan. It is what happens to the real person when you allow yourself, sometimes purposefully, to be the subject of such intense scrutiny that you don't have a chance. And what we didn't see deeply enough is how affected her kids are. One of her kids said, can you imagine having the two craziest parents in the entire world, which at the time were Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, the drummer of Motley Crue. And it is bizarre living in that world. And she gives you some insight into it through diaries that she was writing at the time. And it turns out that no matter how hot you are, no matter how rich and how famous you are, the concept of loneliness and the concept of insecurity is still very much alive in everybody. And it was very much alive in her. And these were actual diary entries. And we see them on this documentary. I loved it. It's better than what we just saw with Seth Rogen.
Really?
It gives you it. Yeah, it really is. Because it gives you an idea of what's real and what's not, and the impact that we don't think about when we're talking about paparazzi and talking about, oh my God, look at how hot she is. And you don't realize that we're objectifying someone. And I'm not trying to say I don't want to think those things anymore. I'm trying to say there is a issue that I never considered, which is that level of fame, the juice is no longer worth the squeeze.
Ah, oh, that's my man. Yeah.
Yes, look at you. You should not have rewarded his smiling throughout that segment.
I'm smiling again.
I am going to tell the audience, this person writes in, David, I don't miss an episode of hashtag nothing personal. The audience should know that Nothing Personal is really strong. He does it every day, and he tackles a lot of stuff that most people in the sports media are not tackling. So I urge you to find Nothing Personal. However, this person continues. Love Samson on Lebatard. Love his talks with Skipper. Wait to see. Love it all.
But
he has the worst movie reviews ever. If he loves a movie, I know to leave it alone. If he thinks it's cringe, give it to me. Hashtag you people is LOL funny.
You people was not funny at all. Did anyone else see you people
I
in
saw
this group?
It. I agree with you.
It was not funny.
It was really heavy-handed.
Yeah.
It was like the most satirical version of how people talk to each other now. It was like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, like she was talking to a black woman. It was just like, look at your name. I mean, I know that people can be tone deaf, and that's what they were trying to say. But it was really heavy handed for me.
Wow.
Wow, Chris Cody's movie reviews can also
I
be
I said
found.
That on Cinephile earlier this week.
We've got a lot of people. We got a lot of people here who know movies. We got Amin. Who among you would claim to know the most about movies if it's between Amin, Adnan, and Samson?
Oh, I would say Adnan. Like, I'm, like if we're talking
why?
About... Because
his movie reviews are culled from other people's reviews.
Well, no, because Adnan watches a ton of movies. One, I know you watch a movie a day, David, but Adnan watches an insane amount of movies. But two, I mean, Adnan hosted the Oscars digital show, like live from the Oscars. That's a level of kind of credential I don't think either of us can begin to approach.
So does Ryan Seacrest.
No,
cares.
But that's not, but Ryan Seacrest isn't hosting.
You're claiming, Samson, that you know more than Adnan does. That you're claiming that
when you say no more, it means that I would value my opinion of a movie more than I would value Adnan's. I'm not saying that I know more movie trivia or I've watched more movies in my lifetime or can tell you anything. Anything other than when I watch a movie, I have a good idea of what is well done and what hits the mark versus what misses.
But David, I think everyone would say that about themselves, right? I know what movies I like better than anyone in the world. But if you're saying, if Dan's saying, who knows movies, like Adnan has the recall of, oh, it's like the 1962.
Adnan would win a trivia contest. Movie, you know? He would win a trivia contest. That's not what Samson is saying,
but it's more, but it's more than trivia.
That's more objective, though. It's like what Samson's talking about is just opinion.
But also, it's more than trivia. It's things like when you watch a movie, you say, oh, you see the way they shot it like this? It's actually an homage to this movie that this director, who was this guy's favorite director, like that stuff isn't trivia. That's understanding kind of the filmmaking process in a way that, again, I don't have the catalog or history of knowledge of movies to be able to do something like that.
And so, I think he's getting that from ChatGPT.
Well, I would say, would you be able to compare yourself to a Roger Ebert? So who would make that comparison? Would it be David Sampson or would it be Adnan? I wouldn't include you in this.
For the bad ones, I would.
For the bad
there's
ones.
Nobody in the history of time who's reviewed bad movies better than Amin Al-Hassan.
That is true.
It's quite a niche there, Amin.
Thank you.
You're really doing something for the world.
He's zigging while everyone else is zagging. Anyone can review good movies.
Exactly.
30 years ago, if you want a movie that was rated below 40, that's the Amin wheelhouse.
Movies. I'm your guy. Give me all your crap. You're tired and poor, and I'll review them all.
But hold on a second, though, because if Adnan, what David is saying is David, I think, is claiming. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Well, maybe I will.
Yes, you will.
You're claiming that you have a better eye for the art than Adnan does, that your taste is better.
This doesn't sound personal at all.
Nothing personal.
I have nothing, but I love Adnan.
Yeah, you really demonstrate that every time you talk about it.
I love Adnan. I just wish I had the movie podcast at Metal Arc.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, listen.
I mean, David, if you don't think that that's what this just gives off, like, you just don't hear yourself.
I am very happy that Adnan has the movie podcast at Metal Arc.
But why did you laugh? What did you get? You were disgusted there and you laughed. Don't get me started on what? I'd like to get you started.
I don't think you do. We're at minute 42. And by the way, what happened to you producing the segment? How did that go?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.